Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we are learning Mizmor Pei Gimel, the 83rd Psalm in the book of Tehillim. And we're going to take a quick look at this. This Mizmor is incredibly moving in the sense that it is very much contemporary. It's almost as if we've witnessed this Mizmor unfold itself in front of our eyes in contemporary Jewish history. Let's take a quick look. This Mizmor is made up of 19 psukim in overview, and structurally wise, it is divided into two main sections. The first pasuk is its ketoves. It is the introduction, the superscription where it describes Shir Mizmor LaAsaf. This is a song, a psalm of Asaf. It is the last of the 11 in a row of the Asaf Mizmorim. Asaf was the second largest contributor to the book of Tehillim. He was the second largest contributing author to the book of Tehillim, and we have 11 in a row of his right now. The first section of this Mizmor runs to the word Selah at the end of Pasuk Tes, in which it describes the coalition of enemies who are coming against the nation of Israel, and it concludes with begging Hashem to destroy the enemies of Hashem like Hashem did in past. In terms of the central theme, the narrator is extremely scared. When he's describing what he sees, you can just listen to the tone of the first pasuk, Elohim al damiloch, al techrash, al tishkot kel. Hashem, please don't keep quiet. Don't sit by idly as this happens. Don't keep quiet. Three times we ask Hashem not to keep quiet. Why? Because all the enemies are coming. They're joining together. There's a coalition of all these terrible people who are coming together to hurt us. It really, you know, to us, it's so easy to appreciate what this mizmor means when it talks about all your enemies are roaring and your enemies are rearing their heads, and it goes on to describe this whole list of enemies. These are the kind of things we've heard. Examples, building up to the 1967 war, the Six-Day War in Israel, just a few quotes. May 27, 1967, Gamal Abdel Nasser in Egypt. Our basic objective will be the destruction of Israel. The Arab people want to fight. The mining of Sharam el-Sheikh is a confrontation with Israel. Adopting this measure obligates us to be ready to embark on a general war with Israel. Another quote also from Nasser. 3 days later, on May 30th, 1967, after signing the defense pact with Jordan's King Hussein, the defense pact in inverted commas actually means to say where they agreed that Jordan would come to the aid of Syria and Egypt upon attack, in an aggressive attack. The armies of Egypt, Jordan, and Syria and Lebanon are poised on the borders of Israel. To face the challenge, while standing behind us, are the armies of Iraq, Algeria, Kuwait, Sudan, and the whole Arab nation. This act will astound the world. Today, they will know that the Arabs are arranged for battle. The critical hour has arrived. We have reached the stage of serious action and not declarations. And just a few days earlier, May 20th, 1967, by the defense minister of Syria, Hafez Assad, to quote, Syria's forces are ready to go not only to repulse the aggression, but to initiate the act of liberation itself and to explode the Zionist presence in the Arab homeland. The Syrian army, with its finger on the trigger, is united. I, as a military man, believe that the time has come to enter into a battle of annihilation. When we hear these words, which were said right in our time, we're talking now just over 50 years ago when this actually occurred, when these statements were made. We really hear the reverberations of the fear expressed in the first half of this Mizmor about the conglomeration of enemies who usually fight each other, who are joining together to fight the nation of Israel. In the end, the narrator begs Hashem for victory, like in the earlier times, the times when Hashem destroyed Sisera, which was a Canaanite victory, a victory against the Canaanites, the times of Ehud, Ehud ben Barak and Devorah, who were the leaders at the time in Shoftim Perek Dalet and Perek Hey. It is interesting to note in this Mizmor that there are 11 enemies who are mentioned: Edom, Yishmaelim, Moab, Hagrim, Gavol, Ammon, Amalek, Pleshes, Tsor, Ashur, and Bnei Lot. But I think the general perspective over here is the sense and the image of surrounding, that Israel is surrounded rather than in a specific order, because it does not go in a particular clockwise or counterclockwise direction in describing these enemies. The name of Hashem in this Mizmor is a particular theme. The word shame seems to appear numerous times, where it talks about V'lo yizocher shem Yisrael oed. They want to remove the name of Israel. This is annihilation. And that they're talking about how the name of God should be reestablished. It seems to be that what the Mizmor seems to be talking about over here is not simply a battle over turf, not simply borders, not simply access, not simply straits which need to be reached, not trade or international commerce. We're talking about a religious war. And the Mizmor is making it very clear that what is really at stake over here is that the nations around Israel cannot stand the fact there is a nation of God in the chosen people in the chosen land. They cannot withstand or allow that existence to occur, and that's what they're fighting about. That's why the prayer at the end of the Mizmor is V'yedu, let them know, Ki ato shimcho Hashem levadecho, Elyon al kol aretz. The ultimate victory will not come simply through military strength and military victory, but rather when people know your name, God, which is the response to them wanting to destroy our name. In terms of the events behind this Mizmor, there are a number of different options. We can push this earliest as to the times of Shoftim, because it talks about victories at the times of the book of Shoftim. So you can push it much, much earlier into Jewish history. However, it could be also the times of Shaul HaMelech, who fought many nations, and Amalek was one of them, because it sounds like Amalek is one of the powerful forces as described by this Mizmor. In addition, in Dira Yomim Aleph Perek Mehei, at the very beginning, it describes how Shaul HaMelech fought against Hagriyim. And there are no Hagrim mentioned after the time of David HaMelech. Similarly with Yishmaelim, which might suggest that this could be a war either from the times of Shaul or earlier. However, it could be as well that this Mizmor could be going even as far later as Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Why then? Because Ashur, Assyria, is one of the enemies, but it's not the predominant empire at the time. That was the last time that Assyria was one of the many enemies of Israel in Jewish history, and therefore could be listed among them. And therefore, that's the latest we could put it, that we do know that there were skirmishes with Amalek, even in the times of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. The Radak and the Malbim put this, peg this a little bit in between the last two suggestions, and there's a war we know about in Sefer Melachim and Divrei Yamim, in which Jehoshaphat fights against the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Seirim. There's a large battle that occurs. So perhaps that's one of the greater coalitions of non-Jews fighting against the nation of Israel. However, it's hard to know, because not all the nations were in the fight then explicitly. There's no Plishtim then, there weren't Hagrim then, so it's harder to understand this. The Sfarna pushes us to the end of times, and the Sfarna says this refers to the war, the apocalyptic, the war at the end of history, in which all the nations will ultimately try to throw their hat into the ring to annihilate Israel, and at such point Hashem will save them. And in conclusion on this point, we've seen a number of different suggestions. The Da'at Mikra, Rav Amos Chacham, says it could be that this is meant historically, meaning it's saying throughout history, all of the different enemies who try and try again to annihilate Israel, ultimately all of them at their times will be killed. That's another possibility in looking at this longitudinally rather than at one snapshot in history. In terms of the places in our davening this appears, it is interesting to note there is a minhag in some communities to say this Mizmor on Purim. Reason being is because Amalek seems to be a big factor of the enemies, and that is the notion of Purim is succeeding against Amalek. In the Nusach Sfardi, the minhag is to say this Mizmor on Tzom Gedalia and Asara Beteves. The other minor fourth said their own Mizmorim. This is about the being surrounded by enemies. In Ashkenazi traditions, there is a minhag in some communities to say this after Shacharis every single day. And today, because it is so contemporary, because there's so much a part of the fabric of society that we talk about and see today, it is often said when Israel unfortunately has to go to war, this is said thinking about the people who are trying to kill us and defending ourselves and defending our lives. It is worthwhile noting that the last section of the essay of Rav Soloveitchik entitled Kol Dodo Dofek, based on a Yiddish lecture he gave at Yeshiva University in 1956 during the war in Sinai against Egypt, he made a very interesting comment. And I'd just like to quote from the last section of this essay, which was translated into English, called Kol Dodo Dofek, The Knock of My Beloved is Heard. And he says the following: "It seems to me that political secular Zionism has failed by virtue of one basic error. It is based on the false assumption that was introduced into the covenant of Egypt, the covenant of fate. Secular Zionism asserts that with the founding of the State of Israel, we became a people like all other peoples, and that the force of it is a people that shall dwell alone was diminished. The extremists in this movement want to eradicate the idea of a shared fate of the Jews and of the diaspora and the Jews of the land of Israel. This train of thought is not only philosophically and historically erroneous, it is mistaken practically. In adhering to the notion of equality with all the peoples and the unity with all, the representatives of the State of Israel have on many occasions showed themselves to be extremely naive. They have failed to properly evaluate specific circumstances and conditions, and have not correctly understood the hidden motives of certain persons. Out of a childish naivete, They may put stock in people who later betrayed us and have been inordinately moved by smooth talk and flattery. To my mind, in several instances, Israel's foreign policy has lacked a sense of self-respect, national pride, prudence, and the strength to stand by its principles. He goes on to quote the beginning of our Mizmor, Psukim Dalad Tutes. They craft plot against your people and take counsel against your treasured ones. They have said, come, let us cut them down from being a nation, that the name of Israel may no more be in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. Against you they have made an alliance, the clans of Edom and the Ishmaelites, the Moab and the Hagrites, the Gavol, Ammon, and Amalek, Plishtim, and the inhabitants of Tyre, Assyria too, joined forces with them. They have given support to the child of Lot, Selah. That's our Mizmor. And he goes on to explain. Communist Russia, together with the Vatican, Nehru, the student of Gandhi, together with the devout Catholic Franco, the British Foreign Office with Chiang Kai-shek, have all joined in the attempt to isolate Israel and are being assisted by Israel's other enemies in other lands. This conspiracy began specifically after the establishment of the state, at a time when many of Israel's leaders thought that the Jewish problem had been solved, that Jewish isolation had been eradicated, and normality had been introduced into our existence. The assumption that the state of Israel has weakened anti-Semitism is erroneous. On the contrary, anti-Semitism has grown stronger and employs false charges against the state of Israel in the war against us all. Who can foresee the end of this anti-Semitic hatred? And I think that this over here, this quotation of Rav Soloveitchik, is a very powerful thing to think about and to appreciate. This Mizmor over here goes on to show us that ultimately, we can never be like the rest of the nations of the world. We can never be accepted. We can never be distinct in that way. Ultimately, the nations of the world will always remember that we are Israel. There will always be this dysfunction, this discord. And it's important to understand that from this Mizmor. And ultimately, the battle over here is the last pasuk. V'yedu ki atoshimcha Hashem levadecha elyona kol aretz. Our prayer is, Hashem, let your name be known among the nations of the earth. Let us represent that. Let us represent you and bear your flag in a majestic way, in a dignified way, that ultimately they can respect you, not running away from that, because it will always chase us. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.